Meanwhile, Screaming Lord Sutch was becoming more and more involved with his horror rock show.
So in the end, I was doing more and more of the rock and roll one-nighters and recording and touring. And then I was offered a very good tour of Australia and New Zealand, which I took. That was about 64. And I handed it all over to Reg Calvert. I sold out to him.
Remember, all you people that want to send a request in, we'll be delighted to hear from you. The address to send them to is 7 Denmark Street, London, WC2. That's Screaming Lord Sutch Request, 7 Denmark Street, London, WC2. My name is Chris Cross, but I'm going off tomorrow because I'm only here on a temporary basis. I've been here since Tuesday, as many of you will know, and I don't know whether I shall be back again. I do hope so, because I've enjoyed being your disc jockey for the past week, or the past 5 days. At any rate, so I hope I can come back and do a bit more for you. Right now, I'm going to play you a record by the Everly Brothers. It's the Ferris Wheel.
Walking down Denmark Street one day, this is really one of those strange things that happens to one once in a lifetime. Sort of change of your whole career by pure accident. As I passed this doorway that said Radio Sutch on it, and I marched straight in and said, I want to be a DJ. And purely by chance, the person who turned out to be Reg Calvert said to me that he'd just changed the name from Radio Sutch to Radio City. He got a new transmitter there, going there that week, and he was short of people to keep the thing ticking over. So he said, right, you can come down for a week. He wasn't going to pay me any money. And, take it from there, sort of thing. So I went down. I was on the station, in fact. I went down with Reg Calvert, in fact, that afternoon, stayed in Whitstable that night, because the weather was too rough to go out that night, and the following day I was on the station. Hey presto. That would have been September 64. And then the following week, he evidently thought I was good enough and offered me the princely sum of £5 a week to stay there.
Chris Cross, who recalled how he started with Radio City. The forts were an awe-inspiring sight, and very different from how people imagined them, as Terry Dawson remembers.
Well, it was nothing as I imagined it, because people said, oh, you're going to work out on the forts, and I said, yeah. And I expected to see a fort, a sort of big brick thing with holes for pointing rifles to, and flagpoles and the like. And then, of course, you go out there and you see these sardine tins on legs.
What looked to be quite a small object from the beach. I'd never been to the towers before. I'd never seen photographs or anything. We got there and there's this thing. You looked up and up and up and you thought, what's all this? I'm not going up there. And it was something like 60 feet from the bottom of the sea level to the bottom of the tower. And then another 60 feet to the top. The ascent from the boat, or ascent onto the ladder from the boat, was another thing. You had, first of all, to get to the bottom of the first ladder, which was often several feet, depending on the condition of the tide. And with a tower, it doesn't move. It's not like a boat. When you come alongside a boat, the boat's moving one way and the other boat's moving the other way, so you get a bit of wash up through and you jump across. Well, it's not quite like that with a tower. You go up and the boat smashes against the side and the rubber tires don't really put up with it anyway, and everything tremors and shakes the hell out of the place. Jump to the ladder. Scramble up that like hell before the boat comes up and meets you, and it's quite a rise of tide there, right at 7 feet. Then it was a case of get to this greasy platform, and one nearly always falls off that and slips a bit down a bit. Then to a second landing, and then up through one single ladder into the middle of the tower, which allows access, as you probably know, for one person at a time.
Bob Leroy recalling the problems of getting on to the fort. Conditions on Shivering Sands had improved since the days of Radio Sutch. A new transmitter had been installed, along with a 240-foot-high mast on top of the tower, which in itself was around 100-foot high.
It was in fairly good condition structurally, as the War Department had left it. All the doors and windows were intact. It hadn't suffered any vandalism, as it wouldn't out there, of course. Not many people walking past on those days. And the roof was sound. It was draft-proof, which was of some importance. But as far as the living conditions were what we could make out of them, we had a camp bed each and a sleeping bag. We had a single camping gas ring to cook on, I think. Lots of tins of food. Some sort of a container for fresh water for drinking, which was used very sparingly. And everything else was salt water, which we hauled up on a bucket with a rope.
Whereas the ships, in fact, imported duty-free cigarettes and drink, we never did. Drink was never allowed on the station. Cigarettes were bought in this country, so... Everyday food, well, as I supplied it from my then general stores that I had in the town, it was all very good.
For all your groceries and for a great many other requirements, visit Pine's General Stores, 15 Island Wall, Whitstable. Open now till 8 o'clock every night. Phone Whitstable 4841 for Pine's General Stores, 15 Island Wall, Whitstable.
The studios themselves, they were primitive, but they worked. It was much like today's modern comparison. I think you can class reasonable sounding discotheque by it. It was literally Gower SP25s with Decca DRAM heads through an ordinary passive three-channel mixer, a Brunel tape deck, which was situated to the left of you, with an ordinary cue button, which needed miles a litre before it could go on cue. No slip pads. We didn't have slip pads when we started. We made some felt ones later on. AKG microphone, Eagle-type meter mounted in the wall. A bit of light came on when the microphone button went on. Two Farographs, always one on shore being repaired, one on the station working if you're lucky.
That's rather nice, isn't it, for Frank and Brenda and all the boys who asked us to play a record with Punch, The Foremost, and Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. And they go on to say lots and lots of nice things about Radio City and certainly enjoy our programmes, and we certainly hope you do. If you'd like to write to us for a record request or anything else, a dedication or an advertising rate card, our address is Radio City, 28 Oxford Street, Whitstable in Kent. This is Radio City on 299 metres. Got a most peculiar noise. Can't make out what it is. Can you hear it? Oh dear. Right, let's get on with music, shall we, before I have the studio collapse around my ears.
Next to us, the top 24 map, to the right, on a long bench, and all the Beatles and Stones stuff was there for 5x4, all the time. So you could always be sure of the Beatles and Stones record programme without any doubt. You didn't even need to prepare that. Just go and do a 5x4 at ease in there. Loads of requests for that. Probably the most requested radio show, in fact. Very, very popular.
And with the time standing now at almost 7:02, it's time almost to close down our transmissions for today, Tuesday, the 26th of April. But before we do, I'd like to remind you that Radio City transmits on 299 metres medium wave from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening, each and every day. And we open up tomorrow morning, as usual, at 6 o'clock with Paul Elvis' Early Bird Show. We'd like you to join us then, but if not at 6, at least sometime tomorrow. So until then, this is Alan Clark on behalf of the management and staff of Radio City, wishing you a very good night. Good night. And I've just been told there may be a Radio City test transmission sometime this evening. And with the time now standing at 7:06, this is Radio City closing down. Good night.
You're tuned to Radio City on 299 metres. My name is Paul Elvey, and I'd love to hear from you. Okay, make it a date? Right then. Sit down right now, get yourself a postcard, and while you're listening to the next record, then drop me a line and just tell me what you think of the programme.
Next and last request for this particular record is from Jane Daniel of 11 Deep Dean, Kingswood, Basildon in Essex, and she wants time to on my side, and she wants it from Martin Green and herself. Martin Green, what have you been up to?
Dit is Radio City op 299 meter. Hier is voor u een plaats met een diepe betekenis. Hij wordt gezongen door Jim Reeves en is getiteld I Won't Forget You.
Reg Calvert liked to use new names for Radio City. Tony Pine remembers some of them.
Dick was an original DJ, Dick Dixon. Paul Elvey. Then Chris Cross. Then Tom Edwards. And after that, I was so involved, I just lost count. They came and they went, and that was it, over a period of, 3 years. Again, engineers used to come and go. Myself and Dick were original, and Don Witt, of course, original engineers, I would say. He was one of the best engineers, Ian West and Phil Perkins. They actually stayed the longest. They were all there for their own particular reason. Some were there for the fame, some there for the power, some there to satisfy their knock against society. I was there to get out a free radio station.
In the early days, it tended to be three most of the time, very occasionally down to two. As things got better, after I'd been there perhaps, 6 or 8 months, things got a bit better organised, a bit more money had been put into the station, we had better equipment and we had more people. We got up to a massive total of 5 or even 6 as far as I can recall. We even had a cook at one stage, which was a great luxury. There was one occasion where I and my wife ran the station for about 3 days alone over Christmas. In fact, it was supposed to be 3 days. It turned into about 5 because of the bad weather. And in fact, most of the programmes had been pre-recorded on that occasion, but the job consisted of getting up about 6 o'clock in the morning, winding the handle on the diesel generator, which was a bit of a strain at that time of the morning, starting the thing up, starting the transmitter up, warming it up, and then going on the air. And in the course of that few days, the transmitter actually went wrong. And much to my amazement, I actually mended it, which is one of the most extraordinary things I've ever done, I think, because I really didn't know what I was doing. And all was well.
This is Radio City. The right time is now exactly 7 o'clock. On the hour, your voice for the news, Eric Martin. This business equipment exchange of 64 Park Road, Baker Street, London, NW1. Britain's largest suppliers of news and used office equipment. Mr. Joe Grimham told the Liberal MPs in the Commons this afternoon, fairly bright with some rain later in the southwest. You can obtain anything from a portable typewriter to accounting machines, and Business Equipment Exchange also run a school for training accounting machine operators near Baker Street Station. For details, phone Paddington 8452. That number once again, Paddington 8452.
The next news will be right here at 8 o'clock.
Folks, you're on at Gary Stevenson. This is Radio City. We do it from New York every day, Monday through Saturday, from noon until 1 o'clock. And right now, it is a Thursday. Don't forget to write to us. Write to me, Gary Stevens, Box 3713, Grand Central Station, New York, 10070. Keep those cards and letters coming in because we love to hear from you.
Swaying Radio Workshop.
Swaying Radio Workshop.
From the north, east, west, and south, this is Radio Worksop News.
Live and up to the minute. This is Bang Bang Brannigan reporting in the Cup Public Convenience. Dateline Bin Jung. A visiting American tourist claimed yesterday that he had been savagely charged by local buffaloes. The tourist said that he was paddling in some paddy fields when the buffaloes charged him. The buffaloes were all members of the local Boy Scouts, and they charged him 200 rupiahs for paddy paddling.
Well, DJ, pure and simple, was, as far as my job went, notionally, in point of fact, since there were only ever about three of us running the entire station and doing all the cooking and everything else that went to actually keep the place running or ticking over, I was the cook. I also became more or less the chief carpenter on the station. And eventually I became more or less the programme controller. I used to make up all the schedules to say when all the programmes went out and when the advertisements were scheduled to run and that sort of thing.
Hey, are you enjoying Radio City's programmes? If you're not, well, how would you like to tell us why not? Or better still, how would you like to tell all our listeners why you don't like Radio City? You know, you can do just that on Radio City's show, The Anti-City Show, which comes to you every Saturday on 299 at 12 o'clock. All you have to do is make a tape recording of all your criticisms of Radio City, and you can say exactly what you want, and send them to us, The Anti-City Show, Radio City, 7 Denmark Street, London, WC2. Remember, that's for The Anti-City Show, the most unusual programme on the air.
It was always top 24, but we did have quite a lot of quite interesting programmes. We had The Anti-City Show, which was tapes sent in by listeners, you know, criticising the station. We had Buzzard and Record Request shows. We had, you name it, type Record Request shows, sponsored the A.A. Allen show, you know, Voice of Prophecy. Quite a lot of live radio. I think we were one of the first stations to do live gigs, if you like. We had what we called the Radio City Dance Parties, held in local halls, recorded for the station, which was quite well done, and we used to broadcast those tapes quite regularly.
Well, Blemmett, this excitement comes to you tonight from the King's Hall at Herne Bay, and this is the last of Radio City's dancing parties in the present series. And on the stage at this present moment, we have the Screaming Lord himself. So we'll take you now onto the stage at the King's Hall at Herne Bay. Well, folks, that is the first time that any live stage performance has ever been recorded for broadcasting of Screaming Lord Sutch, and that was his internationally renowned number, Jack the Ripper. I was going to interrupt the number to tell you what he was doing, that this is the most grotesque act that's ever been produced on any stage at any time. No wonder that some people say that Screaming Lord Sutch is a monster. But then again, it's only an act, and it's a really fantastic act too. You must see it when he's down your way next time. And this is a special recording for Radio City, and this is Reg Calvert signing off now from the King's Hall at Herne Bay.
The animals in today's Breakaway Club news and notes session, with many happy and good wishes to the future members of the Breakaway Club from all the outside members. That is a little thought for today for you. We've got to get out of this place by the animals. Don't forget the address for those communications and dedications and requests is the Breakaway Club, Radio City, number 7, Denmark. Hey, the old address. Oh, force of habit. Sorry, do it again. Radio City, Clifford House, 15 Clifford Street, London, W1. Okay, Breakaway Club, Clifford House, 15 Clifford Street, London, W1. And the Breakaway Club's news and notes for men and, of course, women on the run all around the countryside is heard at this time, 1:30 each day on 299 meters. So till next time tomorrow, bear in mind the motto as we go forward together, laughing and joking and giggling, because the whole country is behind you, like laughing, joking and giggling. The motto being, of course, meander with Macca. Breakaway people, meander with Macca.
Scratch along with Kath Kirby.
My baby does a hanky panky.
That is so corny and such good fun. James, John Bell, Radio City Sound 14 this week on the City Survey. My Baby Does the Hanky Panky, Radio City Time Check and Macca's Music Show on 18 and a half minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock, news time at 4.
I would like to point out, if I may, that you are in fact listening to Ian McRae with, as he calls them, his hits of the day.
Well done. Oh, my God. Let's bring on the Kinks now, shall we?